Talk Husky Football with former Washington and NFL tight end Cam Cleland. Brought to you by 13 Coins. 13 Coins has been a Seattle favorite for over 50 years. In Pioneer Square in Seattle, Bellevue and SeaTac. Opening in Vancouver, Washington in late 2021. Visit 13coins.com. Now with our Goog host, Ian Furness, here's Cam Cleland on your home for the Huskies. Sports Radio 950, KJR.
And with that, here we go. Time to check in with our good friend Cam Cleland, former Husky. Now, of course, the radio analyst right here on 950 KJR on the Husky broadcast as well. He joins us on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm good. The better question is, are you cold from all the hockey stuff you've been into? Which, by the way, yeah. I've seen a couple hockey games up close. There's nothing like watching hockey live. I'm telling you.
People here will enjoy that starting at home on Saturday at Climbing Pledge. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, okay. I never want to hear somebody complain about travel again that's on a charter. I can tell you that right now because having flown commercial 5 cities, 6 days and whatever. I said, you know, as I watched those guys get on the bus to the charter, to the hotel, shut up. Don't ever complain about a charter again if you're an athlete or a media member that's on those charters. Okay, let's get to it. Huskies. Let me start first with this. Is there such a thing in college football? Can there be such a thing as a get-well game? Because if there would be, it feels like Arizona would be that game.
I think there. I mean, this is one of those games where I look at it at, like, as the former player in me, it's like, I want to go down this weekend and beat the ever-living snot out of these. I mean, honestly, when you talk about the get-right game, you're that much better than a team that's just on the downturn. I mean, they're just trying. Look, you got a new coach, new system, everything. They got to rebuild. The Huskies are younger, too, but they are head and shoulders better than this team. And if you play at their level or think you're just going to cakewalk in this game, and coaches aren't going to do it, we know the coaches aren't going to practice that way, but I think there is, in a mindset of you want to have so much success down there, because the history is that it's a struggle. It's a struggle to go down to the desert and play. History has shown that for Washington. So, yeah, man, I think this is a game where it has to be not as much like you saw from the Arkansas game, but it's got to be that kind of, especially watching what Colorado was able to do last week.
I would agree. Cam Cleland with us. All right. I listened to, believe it or not, in all my travels, I listened to some of the post-game show with Softy and the boys, the Honks post-game the other night. And, you know, the theme was change, change, change. We need change. Offensive coordinator change, quarterback change. We'll just start on the offense, first of all. Unless I missed something on an airplane, none of that has happened. How much is on either John Donovan or the quarterback himself?
Well, first of all, I've always believed this, is that when you call plays, every play is meant to be successful, and then the players execute. Nobody walks in as a coordinator and goes, hey, let me call this play because this is going to suck in the moment. That's just not how it works. So you have your game plan, and then your players execute. Right now, there's a combination of trying to search for a few things and an identity to what works in a play call, and then the execution side starts to see is it transparent? Are the teams able to pick up on it? Are they seeing something on film? I'm seeing a few things. When you watch it and call the game, you go here. There's so many fingers to sit around and say, is that when you're struggling and trying to find it, and it all starts being, it's so simple to me. Okay, and I've said this over and over this week, and I'll repeat it again for anybody that hasn't heard it. The top four teams in this conference right now all lead the conference in rushing. Mm-hmm. Why is that so successful? It's because you control the line of scrimmage, and it opens up everything. You hear the Seahawks talk about it. You hear everybody that's a real football aficionado say, if you can control the line of scrimmage, both offense and defensively, everything else works out. But if you become the highest passing team and have the lowest passer rating quarterback in the conference, that's not a good recipe. So there's a lot of searching going on, in my opinion.
Cam Cleland, 13 Coins coming at us here. All right, let me go down that road because I'm glad you said that. The Donovan and Dylan Morris stuff, I mean, it has been and will continue to be talked about until they have a great offense showing against a good team. So probably even if that happens this week, no one's going to believe, so it won't matter. I want to go back to what you said about the rushing and maybe even go to the other side of the football. You know, Jimmy Lake as a head coach is a defensive head coach. That's who he is. That's what and who he is. And I think it's, no matter what anybody wants to say about what the offense has done, certainly they are to blame along the way. But my goodness, UCLA, with 4.5 minutes to go, ran out the clock on that defense and didn't throw the ball. That's on that side of the ball and that coach, and everyone's been able to run on them all year. Is that schematic at all? He's great against the air raid. We know that. But great against the air raid. Great safeties, great corners and all that. But people can run on these guys.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, and you're not wrong. I think the coaches understand it. And when somebody that looks at it and says, all right, you gave up 24 points, but you look at those two turnovers. And I can rebut that only by saying going into that last game, the Huskies were only giving up 20 points on defense. Mm-hmm. When you think about points-wise, yes, moving the field and, okay, the Michigan skews it because of how well they ran the football. And certainly you saw how well the quarterbacks extended the play with Garbers and then DTR. Mm-hmm. You saw all those kind of guys that extend plays with their feet. And that to me is the telltale sign. You had to spy with Savelle Smalls against Garbers. He struggled there. You had Asa Turner was then your spy also coming down from the secondary to try to spy DTR. That guy's an athlete. All those things coincide, but I will agree with this, and I do believe this too, and I've said it twice this week. Okay, your offense gives the energy to the defense. If you're stopping enough and holding fort to be able to keep the points down, you're not getting blown out by 30, 40 points, or you're not getting blown out by 17 or 20 in the conference. You're losing on turning over the ball, but you're also losing on not creating turnovers on defense. So there's a few things that you're looking at and going, how do we get better? How do we create some more pressure? Well, you got to find a way to stop the run a little bit more. If that's bringing down safeties in the box, if that's bringing in an extra linebacker, but one of your best secondary tacklers is Bukie Radley-Hiles, who's not a big guy, and he's not the best when it comes to run defense, but he's an excellent tackler. So do you stay in nickel? These are all great questions for coaches and schematically, and, I mean, the answers are out there, but it really just comes down to finding a way to dang win.
Well, Cam, that is a great point, though, about there is, I mean, the synergy between offense and defense exists. We saw that in the NFL. We saw that with the NFL team in town every week this year. You know, I mean, the defense is out on the field forever and a day. The offense has run fewer plays than anybody in the National Football League. I know the defense hasn't been great, but my God, if your offense isn't out there long enough, they're gassed at some point. And I think what you're saying is the same thing with Washington. It's, you know, it's interesting you bring up Savelle Smalls. I was just talking to somebody about him this morning. Listen, I know we all like to criticize coaches, and when I listen to you, you do a great job explaining schematics and X's and O's in a very simplistic and easy-to-understand way, and I love that about you. But like, I'll tell you, my very basic knowledge of football is this. I've watched Savelle Small since he was a ninth grader. They are not using him right, and frankly, as a non-Husky fan, I love it because it doesn't help them. But my God, he is should be an elite pass rusher, and it's like when Carlos Dunlap drops into coverage. Like, what the hell are you doing?
Right.
Like, this makes no sense with how they're using this kid.
Well, I think that too, there was extremely high expectations when you get a recruit like that to come in there and contribute. And you look at someone and go, okay, is he super athletic on the outside? Can he carve the outside? Can he be like a Nick Bosa or a Joey Bosa kind of guy? I think that's what everyone thought they were going to get. And then you kind of see what Zion has done too. And now he's back and amazing. He was able to recover.
Oh, yeah.
So what does that change with Savelle? Is he going to be a drop guy? Do they like the fact that he can defend the run? I think he's still learning. You know, when I watch him there's a little uncertainty. It's like, am I going to be able to hold up versus the run? If you get double teamed by tight end and if I'm just going to be a pass rusher like that, but I think it's obvious for me is that right now teams can run the ball so successfully. You're not getting the kind of pass reps to put a team in that situation. So he's not going to pin his ears back ever. He's trying to fight off double teams, and it's super glue. And the guys you're getting tackles locking on him. And for that stressful situation for an outside backer who's not undersized, but that's the mix and it's the fix for everything is when you run at great athletes, just run at them.
Yeah.
And keep pushing on him and pushing on him, and that's what he's feeling right now.
Yeah, I just bring him up because I think the emphasis and the focus for everybody has been, you know, on one or two guys, specifically a quarterback, or we're not using our running backs correctly. Why is McGrew getting carries as opposed to whomever? I mean, Pleasant. So I get all that, and I bring up Savelle because I think he's a terrific player, and it just feels like it's not there for him. All right, listen, safe travels to the desert. We do know weird things happen down there for whatever reason. It's just strange. Strange as hell. Things are always goofy down there in Tucson, and it's a Friday night. They want to get one something. Last thing real fast, that's going to be a really desperate team, right, that Washington faces.
100%. And I don't want to be a part of any streak busting going on right now where they haven't won. I don't want to see any part of it. Let someone else deal with that. dogs need to get it right late in the desert on Friday. That's for dang sure.
And I'm sure they will. Cam, thank you very much. Cam Cleveland, brought to you by our good friends at 13 Coins.